Deputy Commissioner of the NHL, Bill Daly, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks very much for joining us. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you. First of all, the obvious first question we have to ask, given that you're talking to a show in Winnipeg, is can you update us on the Phoenix Coyotes ownership situation?
Sure. It's moving along. Obviously, we're in what I hope to be the very, very final stages of Mr. Holzweiser completing a deal with the city of Glendale on a new lease situation and signing a purchase and sale agreement with the league as owner of the club. So everything, last I heard, which was probably yesterday afternoon, everything continues to be on course, and we hope for a timely transition, hopefully before the end of the calendar year.
Commissioner Daly, I ask this next question with all due respect. Deputy Commissioner Daly asked the question with all due respect.
Gary's going to get a little
I've usurping Commissioner Bettman already this morning. what evidence is there? And I know that the Coyotes have had their ownership struggles the last number of years. But, when they first moved to Phoenix, it can be said that they had a fairly stable ownership situation. What evidence is there that even with the stable ownership of Mr. Holzweiser, if it comes to that, what evidence is there that this team can be financially successful in the Phoenix market?
Well, I think I'd point to two things. One is the demographics of the Phoenix market and how many people are there, how many transplanted Northerners are there, how many people vacation there. So the bottom line is in the Phoenix metropolitan area, you have a lot of potential fans to draw from. Secondly, if you go back and you look at when that team was first in Phoenix, actually did quite well. It sold out every game for the first 4 years it was there at American Airlines West Arena. And then due to a variety of factors, including the ownership and stability that you pointed out, also team performance, where it went through a period of probably 8 years where it didn't make the playoffs. You made the playoffs only once. Certainly some of the interest in the club on a live fan basis waned, and that's we have faith that if you have a competitive product on the ice like the Don Maloney has put on the ice the last 2 years and you have committed ownership and good management, that the team can be successful in Glendale.
Bill, going to shift a little bit away from Phoenix, and you mentioned there are certain positives about the market, and you can point to maybe the Cardinals' success and selling out those games, and obviously the Phoenix Suns being a very successful basketball team in the market, having some successful sports franchises. But maybe shift over to Atlanta, where many successful sports franchises, even in that market, which basketball and football and baseball, which are more natural sports in that area. Even those successful franchises haven't sold out. Is that a big concern for the NHL that even in a there's not as much of a potential in a market like Atlanta as say there is in Phoenix?
Well, I would acknowledge that Atlanta historically has been a very, very difficult sports market, and I can't exactly put my finger on it as to why that's been the case. But you make good points when you point to the fact that the Atlanta Braves make the playoffs 13 consecutive years in baseball, where it's a little more difficult to make the playoffs, and yet they have difficulty selling out their home playoff games, which you would think in most markets is unheard of. So Atlanta has proven to be a very difficult market. Having said that, certainly when the Thrashers, and I again point back to early success here, when the Thrashers were granted their franchise and expansion, they were under common ownership, and Ted Turner was one of the owners. Common ownership with the Hawks and the brand new building there at Phillips Arena, and they basically were using the Thrashers to sell tickets for the Hawks. So when packaged together, there is an interest for hockey in that marketplace. Again, it might be a situation where the building location isn't ideal in that market, and if it was built a little bit in a different location, again, within the Atlanta metropolitan area, might be drawing better. But those are all issues that are important issues, and obviously the building's not moving. So we're going to have to look at the long-term prospects of that franchise, and if a determination is made it can't make it there or can't be successful there, then something will have to be done.
If an NHL team does have to move, would you consider Winnipeg an NHL-ready market today?
I think we'd have to make the judgment at the time, but certainly we believe that Winnipeg can be an NHL-ready market. Certainly the fact that the new building in Winnipeg changes the economics a lot. Our new labor agreement changes the economics a lot from when the Jets left Winnipeg 15 years ago. And quite frankly, the value of the Canadian dollar changes the equation a little bit. So all those factors put together, we believe that Winnipeg can support an NHL franchise. Yes, we do.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Deputy Commissioner of the NHL, Bill Daly. Now, Mr. Daly, I want to transition a bit to an on-ice issue that there seems to be a disconnect between NHL executives and fans when it comes to the issue of on-ice suspensions for hits to the head, hits from behind, everything of that along those lines. How do you ensure that fans do not get alienated when they consider that the punishments that continue to be handed out are too lenient from what they would want to see a punishment be?
Well, I think you raise an important point. I think you obviously don't want to have a disconnect with your fans, but I think your generalization probably is too broad, and I wouldn't agree with as being accurate. I think there's a lot of disagreement on suspensions that are handed down, but I don't believe that it's as overwhelmingly in one direction as you do. I think we get as much criticism for being too harsh on suspensions as we do for getting too lenient. In a suspension situation, any suspension situation, particularly when you're dealing with the clubs who are the best advocates for the situation, nobody's ever going to be perfectly satisfied. And usually when each side has issues or concerns, that means you probably wound up in about the right place. And I would say, I think Colin Campbell, takes his job very, very seriously. His view is he's enforcing the will of the managers and the owners in the league with respect to how the rules should be enforced and how voraciously it should be enforced. He canvasses a lot of people for input with respect to decisions he makes, and then ultimately he makes the final decision. But I think for the most part, over the 11, 12 years he's been doing the job, he's done a good job.
Bill, is there any talk? I mean, right now the NFL, there's impending labor doom, and the NBA, there's also impending labor doom. Is there any talk, especially with the, it appears to be the hiring of Don O'Fair by the NHLPA, is there any talk between you and NHLPA bosses now and soon to be of getting an early start on negotiations so we don't go down the same road went down in 2005?
Well, at least currently, and I would hope and expect that this will change imminently, maybe within the next couple weeks, but there really is no leadership at the National Hockey League Players Association. There's not a new executive director as of yet. Kind of given the void of leadership, there's really nobody to have those discussions with. Having said that, I do believe, we're kind of scheduling to have a new executive director, meaning we're making plans for some important meetings to discuss some important topics, really on the expectation that there will be a new executive director by the time we have those meetings. So I would hope that we'll get into substantive conversations quickly with respect to extending our relationship and extending the CBA. Having said that, having not had any kind of personal dealings with Don, I don't know what his level of knowledge is about our system and how it operates, and I'm sure he'll want to get kind of some hands-on experience with respect to how the collective bargaining agreement works in the National Hockey League and how it's administered.
Bill, along the same lines, I remember when the lockout happened here, and many of the people I know and the people around the game, they didn't have a sport to follow for the most part, and the sport that mirrors the NHL season was the NBA, and the NBA got my attention, a lot of people I know's attention. Do you guys have a plan in place should the NBA lock out next year? Do you guys have a plan in place to maybe ramp up the marketing a bit?
No, I can't say we have any marketing plan that would be directed at essentially the absence of other professional sports leagues. One, I don't think you can count on that. Those are uncertain matters, and And, I would agree that it's probably not unlikely that they might go out, but you can never, I think, engineer a marketing plan around an uncertain event such as that, because even if they're out for a week, they could be back a week later. I think we have to kind of stay the course. I think our marketing and the resources and dollars and the events we build around our marketing platforms have built significantly since the lockout. They'll continue to build. We'll continue to put more resources into that. I think, for the most part, the league, the visibility of the league, the popularity of the sport has really skyrocketed since 2005.
What is the NHL's feeling about returning to the Olympics in Sochi, Russia? And, you know, if so, and the NHL doesn't return, would the World Cup of Hockey be renewed?
Well, I think they're two separate questions. I do anticipate, and one of the early things we'll talk to the Players Association about is a renewed schedule for the World Cup of Hockey. And I think one of the things every time we've run that event, organized that event, and operated and executed that event, it's been a successful event. It's been popular. People really are interested in best-on-best competition, national competition. So I think the World Cup definitely has a future. I think it has probably a more regular future, I would hope so anyway, than we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we did a tournament in 1996 and then not again until 2004, right on the eve of the lockout. We haven't done it since. So I think we do need to build that into kind of a regular event platform for the NHL and the NHLPA, and that's something we're committed to doing with the NHLPA. The Olympics and our participation in the Olympics probably plays into that discussion a little bit with respect to how you, to the extent you do both, how you cycle them in such a way that the players don't get fatigued by it, but also the fans don't get fatigued by it. So that's a discussion we'll have to have. Obviously, we've participated in four consecutive Winter Olympic Games, now shut down our season to do it. I would say we've had, from a business standpoint, from the league's perspective, we've had mixed results. Obviously, the two Olympics that were held in North America, in Salt Lake City and then Vancouver last February, were tremendous successes for the sport of hockey, and I think ultimately and tangentially the National Hockey League. But I can't say the same about our experiences in Nagano, Japan, or Torino, Italy. And so, adding Sochi, Russia to the picture makes it more complicated. It makes a more complicated discussion and equation. But it's something, we'll have to discuss and make a decision on in hopefully in the near future with the Players Association.
Bill Daly, Deputy Commissioner of the National Hockey League, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Legal Curve Hockey Show.
Guys, my pleasure.
Take care. Thanks very much.